mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every prayer that I have made, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Your goodness. Praise the Lord. The goodness of the Lord running after us. We give God praise for that. Amen. Amen. Father, we are so thankful for every second, every nanosecond that we have. We breathe this wonderful air that you've given to us. But not just breathing as in existing, but breathing as ones that are living, ones that have received life from above, transformed, renewed, refreshed, revived, established, a people with direction, purpose, destiny. Because you're a God who not only have plans, you're a God who not only has purpose, your God who not only has a sense of direction, your God of objectivity. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that the object of your love is us. And because we are loved, we are protected, we are kept, we are enriched. And we thank you that your care for us this day has warded away every evil eye, warded away every evil tongue, stopped the language of strife, and we are kept in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. For surely your goodness and your mercy follow us all the days of our lives. We give you praise for this, Most High, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so good to see you all this wonderful evening, this day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. Celebrate once again all the mothers and mothers-to-be, for God has confirmed and affirmed in His Word that you are life givers. When Adam called Eve, Shavah, Eve, the Word of God says it means one who is a mother of all living. This day I declare in Jesus' name that you only give life to that which is good and honorable, and that anything that is not meant to live dies. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think many times we miss so much of what God has on His mind. And we truly need to explore. We truly need to explore and find out what God thinks about us, how God sees us. Too many times we shortchange ourselves because we think so little of ourselves. That goes for men and for women. But the purpose of a thing determines its value and its worth. Its purpose. And God has placed so much value on women, and they play a vital role in the economy of God. And I just want to thank God for our women. It's so special. It's so special. It's so special in the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, women are so important. I remember a few years ago, God gave us determination of what the year was going to be. And one of the years, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, 5 possibly, Part of the word, the prophetic word, was this was the year of the woman. It's the year of the woman. That's incredible. But every time God says something, there is a confrontation, because the devil's primary goal, being the father of lies, is to try to make God a liar. So when God says something, you can be certain the devil is going to try to contravene and come against that same thing to make it untrue. But in the process of trying to do so, he makes it even true. And remember, one of the spiritual principles God gave to us is that when God says a thing, it doesn't just end then. It continues. Remember me saying that to you? So what is the big fight today? Men trying to become women. Do you see it all over the place? Men are trying to become women. They're fighting to become women. The craziness in the world. It's just the enemy trying to create the truth. But women will always remain women, because they are life givers, the birth. Men need to know who they are. And one of these days we'll talk about men and what special role God has for them. We all need to stay in our lane. Amen? Everybody needs to stay in their lane, because everybody is specifically designed for a purpose. Praise the Lord. Stay in your lane. You're a man, you're a man. Stop confusing yourself. I feel like a woman. Well, you can feel all you want, but you're still a man. You are either XX or XY. There's no XYY. And there's no XX. What is what is. Amen? Amen? Leave the women alone so that they can be women. Women, don't try to become men. Your woman, celebrate that and give God praise for all things. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just meddling. Praise the Lord. Well, before I bring the word to us tonight, I was heading out this morning and I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, tonight I want you to give Deacon Paul 5 minutes to speak in the service. Anything in particular? No, just tell him to speak. So I'm going to invite Deacon Paul to come. Paul Morin. Paul Morin heads our particular department for us here, the ushers and greeters, and a wonderful man of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything yet. But he plays a vital role in this house, and God has great plans for him. Brother Paul, please come.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Pastor asked me.
He directed me, because of Mother's Day, to speak about, to give my mother's testimony. She was a great woman of God. She bore 6 children. and I'm the fourth from the top. And she was a real woman of God. When she was born, she sort of dedicated herself. She was brought up Catholic, but she was a nun. She became a nun when she was 18 years old. Yes. I'm a son of a nun. Son of nun. But when she was a nun, she became ill, and she had to get permission from the Pope, and she got a letter from the Pope to leave the nunnery. And because of that, she met my father, and here I am. And six of us in the family. She was a great mother. She cared for children. She loved children. You could see her with the grandchildren. She would just treat them like gold, better than gold. She would pray for them. She would babysit for other families. They went to work, mothers, other mothers. She would babysit. But when she was babysitting, she would minister to the children. Little children, 5 years old, 4 years old, she'd minister to them. She'd get them to say their prayer of salvation. And there was a change in those children as well. Because God moves in every soul. The parents, because they were Catholic, we were still in the Catholic town, they would tell her, please don't do that to my child. Because they wanted them to be Catholic. But she just kept on doing it. She lost a few of her babysitting jobs, but, you know, she just wanted to do the work of God. When one day she started reading the New Testament, and she learned more about Jesus, even though she was a nun, she didn't know that much about Jesus because he didn't teach that. Jesus was not the main in that system. It was just working for the Catholic Church. They prayed, but it was the rosary and prayer books. They were told what to pray. It wasn't from the heart. But with her, after she became born again, all of a sudden she got to know Jesus. How can you not know Jesus being a nun? She always questioned that. Like, why don't... She had never seen a Bible, even in a convent. So now she starts reading the Bible, and she started to find out who God really was. And she accepted the Lord herself. She loved Jesus. She started witnessing to people. She was bold with witnessing. She'd walk up to people. Do you know Jesus? And they said, yeah. But they only knew him as a religious thing. And she'd start talking to them. Some of them would accept and some of them refused. But thank God she was a witness. In my older years, I was 12 years old, I became Christian myself at that time. And then I sort of, 18 years old, well, I got to know the word until I was 18 years old. And after that, I had fallen from, I backslid for a while, for about 15 years. I got to experience the world for a while. But then one day, I had met Pat. Pat was, we were living common law at the time. But my mom and dad came to visit, and I wasn't home. But Pat, they visited with Pat. Pat said her prayer of salvation. And when I came in the house, I sensed in my heart, I saw it. There was a different spirit in the house. You just sensed it. And I thought to myself, oh, what happened here? But thank God, because that was my entry into coming back to the Lord. It was through my mother and my father. God had mercy. Pat would be reading the Bible. She had questions. She had never read it before. She had questions, but the word was in me. So now the questions that she would ask, I would answer. And that was my entry into reading the word again. And every time a question came and I read a little bit, more of it came back. And that was my re-entry into my salvation. And I thank God for women, because it was through these two women that I came back. Praise the Lord.
Thank you so very much for sharing that. That's amazing. You know, you think your life is going in a particular direction and everything seems impossible. When the mother became a nun, it was shutting down the possibility of a Paul being born. How is Paul going to be born? The mother is a nun. So God found a way. God found a way. God found a way. She becomes ill. She's sick. And you say, nah, you're sick. You can't do this. You have to leave. Now, how extraordinary is that? That the church will throw you out now that you're sick. Doesn't sound proper. They should say, okay, you should stay and we'll take care of you until you die. But God was in it. And even the Pope says, okay, we'll let you go. She's let go. Then she gets well. Now she meets a man, gets married, and ends up with 6 children. Somebody shout hallelujah. But God had a greater intent. Because see, if you were listening to that testimony, you'll notice he said that she was busy taking care of little children and was praying for the little children. Pre her getting saved, she was using what she had to minister to these little children. But she did not know the Lord yet. But she knew her religious background. This is what you do. You pray the rosary and whatever. And the parents that are from that same faith are telling her, don't be doing that. How messed up is this? Don't be doing that. But she kept on doing it, and then she gets into the Bible. Then she gets saved. Wow. God was still working. God was working. As complicated as this story is, God was busy working. God knows what needs to happen at all times. I am certain that If we trace that whole situation, there might be somebody else that God is using to pray, or has used to pray. Because God always uses human agents. The heavens, even the heavens, they belong unto the Lord, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. God always looks for a man or a woman to use to release what he wants. I ask the Lord, what do you want me to share with your sons and your daughters today? And he pointed me to a passage in Matthew 6 about prayer. But before that, he said to me, what you're going to talk about is directly connected to what my son Paul Morin is going to talk about. Okay. I'll hear what he has to say and I'll ride on that. So this is me riding on it. Number one, there are no impossibilities with God. No matter how complex the situation is, God finds a way. The devil does not win. Amen? All the devil gets is total frustration. Frustration because he thinks he's got it cornered, he's got it cornered, he's got it cornered, it's done. And then he finds out, oops, jack in the box. This thing is popping back up. I thought I had it locked up. No, 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 no. The devil will not have the final word. Not now, not ever. I want you to be reminded about that this evening. The devil does not have the final word. No matter how complicated and messed up the situation is, the devil will not have the final word. Period. So God got the mother to be ill so that she gets kicked out of her nunnery, gets her to get to the word. He's hearing the word and then goes astray for 15 years. And one day, there comes the mother. He's busy living together with Sister Pat. What were you doing with this guy living together? Forget that story. Isn't that life today? So set up. God knew. I'm going to get Paul. I'm going to get him. He's not escaping. I'm going to get him. I'm going to send family to visit. And they come, they visit with her, they minister to her, she gets saved, he's not there, but he comes in, and without seeing anything, knowing nothing, senses, everything is different here. Because the wrong spirit has been kicked out. So shall the wrong spirit be kicked out of your home, out of your business, out of your family, out of everything that concerns you. You are going to step into a new season, a new beginning in the name of Jesus Christ. On this Mother's Day, may God birth newness. Hallelujah. Something is different here. Now, Sister Pat is busy thumbing through the Bible. doesn't know the answers. He's backsliding. I don't know if he told her, okay, I have accepted Jesus Christ again. I don't know if he did that. He never said anything. But I assume he didn't say anything. But she has questions in the Bible. And what God had invested in him already, pre his backsliding state, all of a sudden comes back up. And it is answering her questions. And she keeps on asking questions. And he brings answers. She asks questions. He brings answers. And at the end of it, he gets saved. How can you outsmart God? He has all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways to do what he wants done. Is it possible for God to give her the answers? But he did not. Because he wanted him. But the him is a backslidden Christian. And why is God wanting him? So that he can begin speaking the word of God, bringing forth the answers, and in the process, God reminds him of his first love. And he comes back to God. Here is a backslidden, unsaved man speaking to a saved woman about the things of God. And I like the way he said it, my re-entry. My re-entry to salvation. Praise God. Say with me, God has his ways. And he will have his way. And the devil and all his cohorts will always be frustrated because God has marked me for the blessing. Hallelujah. Know that. Believe that. Don't allow anxiety. Word of God says, be anxious about nothing. So easy to become anxious because we don't see. Our vision is so limited. Our understanding is so limited. The information we have so limited. But we have a God who is not short of information. Amen? Who is not blind, who is not deaf, a God who is not paralyzed, he's not made out of stone or wood or silver or gold or whatever else that you have to carry him from place to place. He's God. He will always arrive before you arrive because he's always there before there is a there. Come on. Somebody listening? You hearing? He's everywhere present. So there's no there that he's not. If you're going there, he's there already. And I say this. Say that to say this. The God who knows the there that you are trying to get to is already ready in that there with everything that you need in that there for his divine purpose. Praise God. Because God is the master storyteller. History is his story. Did you hear that? History is his story. It's all about him. I just said to you, before you get there, he's already there. And he's already at the there preparing for you before you get there. And then you might think, okay, what happened with Jesus and Mary and Joseph? He was there already. He was prepared for them already. He said, but there was no room for them in the inn. Forget about the inn. That's not where he was supposed to be born. He was supposed to be born in a manger. Why would he want his son to be born in a manger? Because that's where the lambs were born and taken care of. What do you mean? What lambs? The lambs that were being raised for sacrifice, for sin. In the place called Bethlehem, the house of bread. Hello? The way God gets it ready does not make sense to you, but it makes full sense to God because it is his story. It is his story. And because it is his story, it's going to be told the way he wants it told. Because everything God has a purpose. It's a purpose. Normally, on Sundays, I will be here at a particular time. I have a specific time I get into this building early Sunday morning to spend at least an hour to an hour and a half just quiet before the Lord, before any of you come to church. It's been my practice for years. Don't know how many years now, but winter, no matter what the storm looks like, winter, summer, spring, fall, no matter, just like the postman going through any kind of weather. Well, I don't know where Canadian postmen do that, but anyway, that's the story of the postman, you know, from years back. You can be certain I'm going to be here. Well, today, my alarm goes off, and I set it to go off at least 3-4 times to give me different levels of waking up. Because sometimes I might go to bed at 3 o'clock. Sometimes even at 4. But I have to wake up at a particular time. The alarm goes off. I didn't hear it. And then all of a sudden, I wake up. I said, what day is it? This must be Sunday. Oh, it is Sunday. Yesterday was Saturday. I'm supposed to be at church. So I look at my iPad clock. It is 7:12. The time that I am supposed to be inside this place for my meeting with the Lord on Sundays is no later than 7 a.m. It is 7:12. And there comes the devil. Aha, you missed it. I said, shut up. There must be a reason why I didn't hear my alarm clock. And I'm not going to play those games with you. Maybe if I was there at that time that I'm normally supposed to be there, something could have happened on the road and whatever else. I am not supposed to be there until this very moment. So I got myself ready. I got here at about 7:30. And I continued with my special time with the Lord. This is how it's supposed to be. I am not going to become religious about it. Lord, I apologize that I didn't hear my... And you know the strange thing? I step into the building and my alarm comes on. At 7:29, it comes on. I'm coming through those doors and... Ding, 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 ding. I said, yeah, right, thank you very much for ringing now. What am I saying to you? God's timing for your life is the best. Stop pulling your hair out and trying to make things happen, or condemning yourself because something didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. Just be at rest in God. Amen? Be at rest in God. Draw on His ability. Draw on His love. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was trying to walk after the Spirit of God, and so there's no condemnation. If I was walking after the flesh, oh, of course. But you're walking after the Spirit, you're believing God, stop condemning yourself. Things don't fall the way you think. Okay. God is still capable of unscrambling scrambled eggs. Believe me, He can. All He needs to do is back up time. And everything will come back. He just pushed the reverse button. And everything comes back together. He's done it before. There are no impossibilities with God. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. God is for you and is not against you. If you walk after His Spirit, you can be certain that He'll work out every single detail. Why did God go and minister to Paul's mom? Because He had a goal. He had an agenda. The devil thought he's had his way. This woman is going to not want the things of God. But no, she wanted more of the things of God. She used what she had. And God asked every one of us, what do you have in your hand? What do you have? Be thankful for it. Use what you've got. Jesus did not go looking for a truckload of bread and of fishes. He just looked for what He had on hand. What do we have? He's asking His disciples. Like they have a trailer load of something. What do we have? Well, send these people home. Let them go. What do we have? We're not going to do that. What do we have? Well, there's some kid here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay. Ask him for it. Now watch this. A kid has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Are you listening? You listening? You sure? Okay. If you were a child that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and everybody's hungry, and they can faint. And these guys come asking you, oh, we see you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can we please have it? You go hand it over? I say, a little kid will say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. You can have it. It's mine. But Jesus said, bring me that. And I say that to say this. When God speaks and says he needs something, just like he said, go loose that ass. And if anybody asks you, why are you loosening that thing? Just tell them, the Lord has need of it. Yeah? When the Lord needs anything, nobody can say no. Hear that? Say, well, I have my own will and I will resist the will of God. God will not speak to you if you are going to resist his will. He knew, the Bible says, he knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Because he's already there before the there. God is already there before the there. Before you came up with that financial problem, God knew about it, and God knows exactly how he's going to work that together for your good. Yeah, he knows. He knows. Oh, this problem, this situation, this, whatever it is that's happening, God has his way. He does. He has his way. He knows exactly what to do. So when we pray, we're not praying vain prayers. In fact, Matthew says, God is not going to answer us because we keep on repeating ourselves. Matthew chapter 6. I'll go through just a few statements here, and then we'll be done. We'll pray. In Matthew 6, and verse 6. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, he's talking about prayers, leading into the issue of prayers, and he's going to give them a sample prayer. His disciples, because they asked him, the one thing they asked him to teach them is how to pray. They didn't ask him, how do we fundraise? How do we heal the sick? How do we whatever? This is it. They asked him about prayer. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Wow. Interesting. What a statement. Pray to your Father which is in secret. The word is the word cryptos. Today we talk about cryptocurrency. And it's cryptocurrency because it's currency that you don't see, but it's there. And he says, pray to thy Father which is in secret. You cannot see him. He's secret. He's hidden from you. But then it says, and thy father which seeth in secret. The one who sees, who is in secret, cannot be seen, sees that which cannot be seen. And will reward thee openly. He's a God who is in secret. Well, I don't want to go too deep. I don't want to go too deep. But let me just go this to this level of depth. He sees in secret. He is in secret. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 91 about those who dwell in God's secret place because they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah? So we have a God who is in secret, not visible to your naked eyes, and not only is he in secret, he sees that which is hidden, that which is private, that which is not visible to you, concealed to you, and rewards you openly. God, you are in secret. I cannot see you, which means I have to believe that you are there even though I don't see you. And this God who is there is a God who causes that which is invisible to become visible. Has he done it? Has he always been that way? Yeah. If you were a human, in Genesis 1 and 2, all you saw was water. Water has always been here. And what does God do? He speaks. And that which was in secret became manifest. Because God, when he said, "Let there be light," he commanded light to come out of darkness. Because light was hidden from view. Yeah? So when we talk about answered prayers, we are saying, God, make that which is invisible to me become visible. This money that I need is invisible to me. Make it manifest. This health that I want is invisible to me. I don't see it. So make it manifest. And he says he will reward thee openly. Why? Because you trusted in him. Your trust is in him, not in what you see. Many times when we pray, we are praying one eye closed and one eye looking at the answer. Sister Sandra is going to give me the answer. And God helps Sister Sandra if she does not produce what I'm praying to God for right now. You're not praying to the God who is in secret. You're praying to what you can see. Or she's able to do it. Listen, let me tell you something. When you place your faith in man, God will make sure that they don't do what you want them to do. So when you pray, don't look at the solution from your human perspective, but go to God who knows how to locate you and locate the answers that you need. Somebody listening? He will reward you openly. He has an agenda. I was listening to a short video clip earlier today. It was about a man of God. He was talking about how he loved cars. And finally found the particular car, he bought it. He said, this particular car was used, but it was a customized vehicle. And he shares about the fact that this particular vehicle was more expensive than three of his other vehicles. And I know the man. I know the man. So I know he was not driving some cheap knockout. So whatever car this car is, it's not cheap. I will venture to say that it was not $100,000 or $200,000 or even $300,000. He can afford it. So he said, but he doesn't drive. Not that he can't drive. He loves driving, he says. So but I have this vehicle there, and one day I decide, you know, I got to find something to do. I need to drive this guy. He says, I might drive two or three times the whole year because somebody else is driving him, taking that, you know. So he sneaks out with his car and he's going to go visit the sister or the mother at the sister's house. And he stops at some superstore to buy some stuff. He pulls up, and here comes this armed robbers. Packed by his side, they jump out of the car, and some of them are in front of his car, and they're blasting their guns away and, you know, yelling at him, commanding him to come out and you know, get into your boot and blah, blah. They're just harassing him. And said he was so confused. He didn't know who to listen to. And he's there, ambushed. Everybody takes off. He said, I'm just sitting down there. He said, then I came out of the car and I walked away. He says, it's like they did not see me. He said, I just walked away. And they take the car and they leave him. He finds refuge in somebody's house, comes out, and he starts walking on the street, and it dawned on him, I'm still the same person. Once upon a time, a few minutes ago, I had a very, very expensive car. Now I'm walking just like everybody else. But I am still the constant. I'm still the person, the man of God, the individual. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because he was surrounded and he walked away. In an impossible situation, he walked away. The car is taken, but he says, it dawned on me, I'm still the same person. And God's greatest goal was to show him, it isn't the stuff that make you you. It is my relationship with you that makes you you. That's why you're able to walk past that situation. And how many times have I told you in this house, for decades now, that the time is going to come when the enemy will come and try to arrest you and grab you, and you're just going to walk right through? That's it. Interesting. I want to have a quick nap, and I'm listening to this. Why am I listening to it? Why did this come on my screen? It was to show me. Listen, no matter what, when I'm with you, you'll be fine. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I want you to know that. God is for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There are no impossibilities when it comes to you. God is not here trying to harass you and humiliate you. God is for you. And if God be for you, nothing, no one can successfully be against you, because God causes all things to work together for your good. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah. Amen. Well, we'll pray. And once again, thanks to the Lord for all of our mothers. We are not vain repetitors. As it says in verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's not how you're going to be heard. You're going to be heard because you talk to God who is in secret and sees that which is secret, who will reward you openly. Get to the point. Don't think you're going to give God some special information that he doesn't know anything about. That's the pathway to frustration. You talk too much. This, Lord, I'm in your presence. You're God. You're in secret. And you know secret things. Things that I'm totally unaware of. But there's nothing you are ignorant of. I ask for your intervention concerning the issues that face me today, the issues that will face me tomorrow, the issues in my purview and those that are not. And I trust you that you are addressing every situation, because your thoughts concerning me are altogether good. So, Lord, manifest your miracles in my life. Amen. Amen. That's it. That's it. Oh, God, they're trying to fire me from my job. He already knows that. Stop repeating that. God, the landlord is going to throw me out of the house. Wants to throw me out of the house because I don't have my rent payment. He already knows that. So what do I do? I just say, Father, you're the God in secret, who sees the secret things. You know the situation. I don't need to feed you any information on it. I trust you that you see all things, you know all things, and you are solving this problem. Maybe you need to be fired from that house because God has a better house for you. And meanwhile, you're praying, oh God, keep me in this house. No, I want you to go in another house. Because there's somebody over in that house over there that he wants you to connect with that will impact your life, or you will impact their lives. So stop telling God stories. Stop. You, me, every one of us. Stop telling God stories. He knows the story already. Let God do his thing. I was finished. Believe me, I was finished. But the Lord was not finished. You don't receive anything because you don't ask. Okay. Oh, that means I should tell God this, the whole stuff. No. It means that you remind yourself and you ask God, God, you are God. Be God in my life. Do what He says. And when you ask, you don't receive anything because you ask amiss. Oh. And you're asking amiss so that you can get stuff to consume on yourself. Oh. So if I'm not going to do that, I better work with His agenda. The generations of Jacob, Joseph bin. I thought we were going to say begat and begat and begat and begat. And no. It's not begat. It's about Jacob putting on his 11th son, who was meant to be his first son, a coat. And the coat becomes the trouble. Because now everybody looks at him with his nice coat and they're going to attack him. But he gets the coat and God begins to open the young man's eyes and he begins to dream dreams. And from the dreams, he ends up one day going to help his brothers. He ends up in a well. And then he's taken from the well to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife wants to seduce him. He breaks free. He's accused falsely. He ends up in prison. And he's then in prison and he interprets dreams. And he tells the guy, the butler, don't forget me. The guy quickly forgets him. For 2+ years, forgets him. And finally, God gives Pharaoh a dream. The butler remembers and asks for him. Why did the butler forget? Because it was God's plan. If I were Joseph and you go and you tell the Pharaoh about me and Pharaoh springs me out of jail, guess where I'm going to go? I'm leaving Egypt. I'm leaving Egypt right now. Since I came to this place, people have been lying on me. I'm going back to my father. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. But God had a bigger plan for him to be prime minister, so he made sure that the butler forgets him. Forgets him until the fullness of time. He remembers him. He interprets the dream. He ends up in the highest level of authority. God was causing all things to work together for his good. I think that was it. That's what somebody needed to hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's receive the miracles of God. Let us trust God that he knows what he's doing. Say with me, God, you know what you're doing. Therefore, I trust you because you have a good thought and good plans for my life. You don't mean evil towards me, only your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Praise God. Sister, I'll tell you something after the service. All right. Well, let's honor God with our giving and trust Him to meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory. May the words that we've heard tonight from Dick and Paul and the words that I've shared tonight resonate in us and help us to live fulfilled lives, knowing that God is everything to us. Amen? Praise God. Let's come, honor God with your giving. If you've not released your offering yet, you may do so now. Do be certain, if you are given, that you include your address, your current address, so that you can be receipted appropriately at the end of the present year. Amen? Because we find out that sometimes people give a wrong address and we send stuff to them and it comes back, returned. You should be able to use your donation receipt, since the law presently is that you can file with your givings and get a return, use it. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to do that because I give it to the Lord. And I say, okay, use it and give all of it back to the Lord when you get it back. Amen. Why do you leave it with Caesar when you can reuse it? Amen? So, whatever it is that we do, let's do as unto the Lord. May the good Lord cause you to flourish, cause you to blossom, cause you to prosper. May the good Lord open doors for you and establish you in your going out and your coming in. May the good Lord make it possible for you to tap into every opportunity he gives to you with favor and with the ability to see profiting from every act that you engage in for his glory and honor. May he make you head and not tail, above only and never beneath. May you find favor in his sight and the sight of man. The word of God says, when the ways of a man pleases God, even his enemies become a blessing to him. May even your enemies become a blessing to you. In the name of Jesus, we decree so. Amen and amen. God bless you richly. And I'll see you this Wednesday for another time of study in the Word of God, and of course, not only this Wednesday, but on Friday next, is our prayer meeting. We are studying through the book of Proverbs presently. Join us. Let us grow together and prosper in His goodness. Amen? Is there anyone who is here for the first time or second time, or you've not been here for a while, here tonight?